Okay, but let's move on. And before I tell you what we're, before I introduce my guest to you, my guest in studio to you next, I just want to tell you the background to why I'm talking about this particular subject. Now, regular listeners will know that a few weeks ago, I was joined on the programme by the one and only hotelier, Francis Brennan. Francis, of course, is associated for many years with the Park Hotel in Kenmare, but he is also a celebrity TV presenter nowadays. He is also a very experienced author. He has several books out, and we were talking to him recently about his most recent book. And during the course of the conversation with Francis, he happened to mention, just in passing, that he collects ornaments that are shaped like an apple. So apple-shaped ornaments. And he says that he has a collection in his home of all kinds of figueres, or whatever you want to call them, figurines. And he has crystal apples, and he has apples that are made out of wood, and he has apples that are made out of all kinds of ceramics and that type of stuff. And I found myself thinking, that's a very unusual hobby. Why would you want to collect ornaments of apples? So I went on the internet and I did a little bit of digging, and I found out that there are people all over the world who collect all sorts of weird and strange and unusual items. Some of the ones I came across, for example, collections of celebrity hair, collections of Coca-Cola cans, collections of Star Wars Lego figurines. And there's even somebody in England who collects traffic cones. Can you just imagine that? Well, my two guests who've joined me in studio this afternoon, they don't collect anything as weird as traffic cones or celebrity hair, but they do have very interesting collections, and they've brought them in studio to show them to us. So I'm delighted to welcome Tralee residents here in studio with me, Kerry O'Shea and John Ricks. And John and Kerry, you're both very welcome.
Thanks, Deirdre.
And we are hoping to be joined by another collector on the phone in a few minutes' time, but we're going to start with the two lads here in studio. Kerry, you might tell the listeners, first of all, what is it that you collect?
I collect GA programmes for a hobby.
And how long have you been at this?
I've been at this since about 1983, 1984. What happened was, initially, was my next-door neighbour in St. Brendan. We were living in St. Brendan's Park at the time, and my next-door neighbour, Eileen Keogh, who was a grand-aunt of Billy O'Shea of this parish, came over one night. She was going through some old stuff that she had. Came over one night with a 1968 Kerry Longford All-Ireland semi-final programme. I had a look at it, and that was the spark that lit the fuse, you could say.
So a 1968
Kerry Longford
programme. Yeah. What match was that?
That was an All-Ireland semi-final. Kerry barely beat Longford. Longford had won the league in 66, and Kerry had just come through a period in the doldrums, a period of 2 years in the doldrums, and had, you know, more or less come back, but unfortunately we didn't win the final, as we were up against Down in the final that year.
So it's a programme from the semi-final. My God,
yeah.
I'd say there are not too many of them knocking around.
There are not too many of them knocking around, no.
And would you hazard a guess, or maybe you know for definite, Kerry, how many programmes you have now?
I wouldn't hazard a guess, Deirdre, but I have, safe to say, I have hundreds, if not over 1,000, I reckon. You know.
My goodness. And is it just GAA programmes?
It's GAA programmes mainly that I'm interested in. But I got a few months ago, my sister's partner's father passed away, and he was a big rugby fan. So I got a load of rugby programmes from his collection to add to my collection as well.
And do you ever find yourself rereading them?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. But I always found that when I was working as a GA journalist, that if I was doing previews of matches, that going in and researching items from the programme was very helpful for putting a piece together on that particular match.
Yeah, and it must be fascinating as well to kind of look at how programmes have developed over the years, because they were very simple, very simple sheets of paper back in the day, but
back
now
the day,
it's like a big glossy magazine.
Exactly, yeah. And even when you look at the programmes, we'd say from the 1950s, and like the 54 and 55 county finals, which I brought in here today, and just to see the number of businesses that have kind of that are no longer existent by reading the ads, you know, alone, that would kind of tell you
social history.
Social history, yeah.
Yeah, this is it. I'll come back to you in a minute, but I want to bring John Ricks into the conversation. John, welcome. It's lovely to meet
Thank you, Deirdre.
Now, I know you're originally from England, but you're living in Stranraer and Tralee.
I'm a blow-in of 26 years.
Ah, oh, very good.
I haven't lost the accent anyway. I will never have a Kerry accent.
But there's nothing wrong with your own accent.
Thank you.
Tell us what you collect.
I collect Irish call cards or phone cards. And they started to appear in the late 80s. When I was living in London, some friends of mine that used to come back from here on holiday would show me these cards. And I used to come over here twice a year in the late 80s, early 90s. And I'd see these cards all over the street, literally lying in the gutter.
People threw them out.
People threw them away. And I thought, these cards are lovely. And I had the idea of going into the telephone boxes, because there were plenty of them then, and picking them up. And I started collecting seriously around 91, 92. And the passion has never left me.
It's never left you. Do you know, I might ask you, John, to explain, because there will be younger people listening who haven't a clue what a call card is. Would you explain to them what they are?
Well, a call card is a piece of plastic around the size of a credit card with a little chip on it. I'll show you one here. That's a call card. It says on the top, call card, and you can actually see the chip on the side. You take the card, you push it into a slot in a telephone box, and there's a display on the box which gives you the number of units that you've got available on the card. You dial the number and you talk away, and you can actually see the number going down, down, down until it reaches zero, and then you've either got to put some money in the box or put another card in.
Exactly. And they're, of course, obsolete now, aren't they?
Curiously enough, they're not. If you can find a call box that actually is still standing in Tralee, and I understand there's only about three or four left, you can actually use the call card even today in one of those boxes. The slot is still there for them and they still work, despite the fact that Telecom Aeron or Aircom haven't issued a card since 2003.
Go away. So they first came out in the late 80s and then they stopped producing them in 2003.
Yes.
Okay. Kerry, you probably remember them like I do, do you?
I do barely, yeah.
Yeah. I remember them very well. And I actually remember people, you would be walking down the street and see them thrown down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Did you actually go pick some of them up and clean them up and
I literally collected them from the gutter.
My goodness.
I would go round the telephone boxes in Tralee and pick them up off the little flat section on the top of the boxes where people had left them. In some boxes, there was a little slot where you could post the expired card. And there was a box there that filled up with old cards. I found a way of opening that box. I made a key out of aluminium that I would shove up the back end of the box. The box would tip open and out would come dozens and dozens of used call cards that hadn't hit the gutter yet.
And would you sneak off in the dead of night then?
Yes, I had to do it at night. If I was caught doing that during daylight, people would think I was trying to rob the money out the box.
Exactly. So you must have some collection at this stage, John.
I have a very large collection.
Would you hazard a guess as to how many you have?
1,500, 2,000 maybe.
As many as that.
Yeah.
What's the most unusual one you have? The rarest, we'll say.
The rarest one I've probably got is one that was made for use in trains. Now, somebody at Telecom Aeron had the idea, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could sit in a train and know that we could make a phone call on the way? So they designed special call boxes. They fitted into Irish trains And they also designed a special card for it. They only made a few of the cards. The trial was an absolute flop.
Yeah, because you can't hear yourself on the train anyway.
No.
When you're making a phone, even if someone rings
you. It was a disaster.
Yeah. My goodness.
That happened in 1994. They actually made 1,000 cards to be used in the call box in the train. Most of those cards were thrown away.
Yeah. But you've managed to get your hands on one.
I've actually got two of them.
You've got two of them, my goodness.
Yeah.
Now, we are talking, we have two gentlemen in studio with us this afternoon. We have Kerry O'Shea and John Ricks. They're both living here in Tralee. And we're talking about unusual things that people collect. A listener has been on to say that they know of a guy out in Blenderville who collects biros. Okay, why not? Elaine said, I just recently discovered a bag of disposable lighters in the back of a cupboard. My son used to collect them many moons ago. So now, disposable cigarette lighters and biros are some of the other things we've heard that people collect. But let's go back to John and Kerry. Kerry, you were telling us about your collection of GAA programmes. Would you have a favourite, or is that a bit like asking someone to pick their favourite child?
I have a few programmes that are very special to me. One of them I brought in here today now is the 1947 programme from the Polo Grounds in Kerry versus Cavan, the 1947 football final programme, the only final that was played outside of Croke Park.
And that was Kerry and Cavan?
Yeah, 1947. And I also have a programme on from October 7th, 1951, a Kerry Mayo National League game. This is my oldest National League game, but what's special about this was that October 7th was the wedding anniversary of my parents.
Oh, lovely.
Sadly passed away a couple of years ago, but they were married in 1958, so this one is about 7 years before they were married. And what was notable about this was the fact that it was the debut of Paddy Sheehy and Donal Marcus O'Neill, as far as I know, on the Kerry team.
Their My goodness.
Big debuts.
Yeah, and what legends they went on to
yeah,
become.
What
of
legends
course.
They went on to become.
And Kerry, have you ever gone to any great lengths to secure a programme that you always wanted to get your hands
I
on?
I have gone to. I would go to lengths, you know, if I was interested in a program, if I was particularly interested in a program. I'm on eBay quite a lot now and looking at programs. And once last a couple of years ago, there was a Kerry Derry All Ireland semi final from 1970, which I didn't have, and which I was very interested in purchasing. Put in a bid, but unfortunately, my bid for the program went south at the death, you know. So I was very, very disappointed that I didn't get that program.
And I'd say you probably have a few like those really old ones that would be worth a few bob too.
I have a few that would be worth a bob, but I'm not. I would never sell, and I don't want to sell them either, you know.
Yeah, they're too precious
they're
to
too
you,
precious
I gather.
To me, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to come back to John now, and John, you were telling me that there's a special Kerry and a special Tralee collection with call cards that you collect as well.
There's quite a few collections actually. One of the very, very first call cards was given away free to delegates at a conference that was held in Killarney at the Great Southern Hotel. That happened in May 1989. Now, these cards were valid at the time, and the delegates looked at them and weren't particularly impressed. Most of them got thrown away.
They probably didn't know what they were no interest. Yeah.
This idea of using a card to make a telephone call, it was just totally alien to them.
Yeah.
And they just threw them in the trash bins.
Extraordinary.
And the staff at the hotel threw them away.
And tell us about the Rose of Tralee.
Oh, the Rose of Tralee, that's lovely. The cards were issued actually between 92 and 95. Four different occasions, four different cards, and those cards are beautiful. And they're
worth.
What's on them? Pictures of the Rose of Tralee from different artists' point of view.
Okay, the rose of that year, is it?
Not the actual person, but an artist's impression of the Rose of Tralee from history,
shall
we say.
Okay.
They're beautiful cards.
Do you have any of those?
I have all of them.
You have all of them.
Oh, and you, of course.
And you've gone to some lengths as well to get some of your call cards. You were telling me you were even at auctions in London once trying to get them.
I did actually go, not to auctions, but there used to be a Charing Cross fair, a collector's fair, and you could buy anything that was collectible there. And every Saturday morning I was at Charing Cross Fair, and I would spend quite a bit of money buying the cards that I couldn't find on the street, shall we say.
Yeah, amazing.
I managed to increase my collection. Let me just go back to another connection with Kerry, local artist Pauline Berwick, who recently passed. She designed a set of four cards for Telecom Erin, featuring characters from Irish mythology.
That's right, I heard that, yeah. And you've got some of those as well.
I've got all four here.
I'm just going to stop you for a second, because we're almost out of time, and I want to give a quick mention to a few other collectors from around the county who've been in touch. Patricia phoned to say she collects photos and cuttings of the Hapenny Bridge in Dublin, originally known as Wellington Bridge, when people had to pay a half penny to cross the bridge. So there's an unusual hobby for you. Photos and cuttings of the Hapenny Bridge. Another texter says, I have a few phone cards from around the world, and I used to collect plastic or paper bags from around the world with the name of the shop on them. So there's an unusual one as well. Margaret from North Kerry was in touch. She's been going to concerts for 45 years and has kept all her concert tickets. That's a nice one too. I myself have a few All-Ireland tickets from back in the early 1980s when I started going to All-Irelands as well. And Moss Trant from North Kerry collects horse-drawn farm machinery and sewing machines. My goodness, that would take up a fair amount of space in your house, I'd imagine, as well. Listen, we've got to leave it there, unfortunately. The clock is against us. My warmest thanks to John Ricks and Kerry O'Shea for coming into studio and telling us about their collections.